Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Season 7 of Stand Up and Stand Out. Párate y destécate. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Nikki Green. As a life and business resiliency expert, I thought we would share some stories of resilience this season. It's also the one-year anniversary of Chameleon Mindset, my best-selling book, and we are giving away a bunch of great prizes and deep discounts on my coaching programs to celebrate. Be sure to check the show notes of each episode to learn more and follow me on social media. I hope you're enjoying Season 7, and I look forward to hearing your feedback and comments on the fascinating topics we're going to cover with each guest. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Season 7 of Stand Up and Stand Out. I'm your host, Nikki Green, the life and business resiliency expert, and today on our show, we have Jane Vandermeer. Well, let me tell you guys a little bit about Jane before we get started. So Jane Vandermeer is a highly respected trailblazer in the realm of personal style, renowned for her exceptional expertise and profound understanding of the language of fashion on an international scale. With qualifications in various facets of the fashion industry, including design, textiles, consulting, and education, Jane has emerged as a leading authority in the field, earning admiration from industry professionals worldwide. And you guys know how I feel about fashion and how important it is to have a brand of your own, separate from your career, separate from everything else. And so Jane is going to talk to us a little bit about her style, how she helps people, and also, you know, some of the adversity that she's overcome in her life and career. So, hi, Jane. How are you today?
How are you? Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to spend time with you.
Oh, thank you so much. And she's coming to us from the future because she lives in Australia. So she's up.
I'm like a mirage.
That's beautiful. So Jane and I know each other from Leadership Global, one of the wonderful networking groups that I belong to. How do you love and how long have you been a part of Leadership Global, Jane?
Great question. About a bit over a year. So I actually was in a book, and Linda was in the book as well. We were both co-authors. And I remember thinking, oh, she's very special. And we met via Zoom. And yes, it's a very, very special group. I'm very grateful to be part of it. And of course, beautiful Colleen. And then I popped across last year to one of the leadership retreats. So I got to meet everyone in person. Yeah, it's a very different group that I really value.
I love it. And we're really making it global, right? We're not just putting it in the title.
Yeah.
Jane, why don't you tell us a little bit about your story and your origin and how you came to get into the world of fashion?
Yeah, thank you for that beautiful introduction. You know, I think I'm one of those very lucky few who always knew basically what I wanted to do. I remember being at secondary school, you know, with careers days when you have those kind of things, thinking, I don't need that. And I can see I probably didn't value, you know, as teenagers, you don't value these things enough, I suppose. I always knew. Having said that, back then, I didn't really know. The only thing I knew to do was either become a fashion designer or work in a shop. And so I did work in a shop, but fashion design was what I set my heart on. And I'm a qualified fashion designer. That was my beeline. I started sewing at about 9 years old and I've never stopped, actually. I'm lucky enough that it just runs through my soul, my blood, my creativity. When in doubt, play with some fabric and it just makes, I describe myself a bit like a flower. If I'm not creating for a patch of time, I sort of wilt, whereas it feeds my soul and I feel like it's incidental meditation because you've got to concentrate and you've got to, you know, you've got to be present. Otherwise you make mistakes, you hurt yourself, all those kind of things. So you need to be present and it takes time, you know, it takes time to make any kind of garment. So I find it gets you in the zone, it gets you grounded, it gets you out of your head and often brilliant ideas. You know, I'll often have a notepad beside me, old school, and think, oh, that was good. Write that down. It's so, yeah, it's been my career and my love and what I share.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah, growing up, my mom made all of her clothes. And then when she had me, she made my clothes. I went to a private school for the first couple of years and had to have uniforms, but we couldn't afford them. And so we made them. But it was kind of cool because all the kids had exactly the same uniform. Mine was had a little bit of flair.
Yeah. I love it. And you know, that's part of what I've loved over the years of not wanting, you know, even when you're younger, you sort of want to fit in. But in a frame sentence, I don't want to look like everybody else. It's this sort of dichotomy, isn't it? And then somehow at a certain point, we embrace that. And so actually, even to this day, so I'm not designing these days, but I'm a stylist. And I'm probably one of the few stylists that is not about let's go and buy a brand head to toe, you know, because that might be in the advertising campaign, because I feel like that's a bit like a uniform. The thrill is cherry picking, and it's the art, I might add, of cherry picking different things and then add in. So I teach women how to perhaps alter and upcycle and if they can sew, I extend that and push their boundaries a little bit. And if they can't, I'll find someone who can help them. And that's globally, wherever you live, I can find people all over the world. But it's sort of reverse engineering how to think about fashion and what we wear so that it really reflects who we are as women, because we're multifaceted, really interesting multi-layered beings, aren't we? So most of us don't want to look like everybody else.
And it really resonates with me too, because once I, you know, got a little bit older and started going to public schools, you know, I could choose my outfits. But again, you know, we didn't really have much money and I was growing too fast. My mom's like, I'm not making you clothes. You know, you're just going to grow out of it. So I got a lot of hand-me-downs from other people. I was always the smallest person in my class, but it was great because then I could eclectically put stuff together. And then if my mom just needed to sort of slightly alter it so that it would fit me better, I was able to do that. And so I think that's a great idea for people as they're thinking about their wardrobes. You don't always have to start fresh. You know, it doesn't have to be brand new.
No, I'm probably one of the few stylists who will say when we start working together, don't buy anything. Don't buy anything for a bit. I tend to work with women for about 6 months. That's my signature sort of program and way. And there's a reason why it's structured that way. But I do say, yeah, don't buy anything just yet. Don't throw out things, but don't buy anything, because I'm pretty good at being really lateral with how to make things work. And, you know, maybe it's a jacket that you love and the buttons are really a bit cheap, like they're plastic buttons or something like that. So changing the buttons and buying metal buttons, like whether, you know, rose gold's your color or pewter or, you know, whatever, that can really change things so quickly. And that's hand sewing. Like, you don't have to be really skilled to do something like that. And it gives a longevity to your jacket and perhaps looking at it in a different way. And, you know, we've had all these years of fast fashion, of throwaway fashion. So I really like to just challenge our thinking to look at it in a different way and, yeah, extend the life. And of course, then the individuality, that's as much part of it as any of it.
I love that. And it reminds me of my grandparents in a couple of ways. And one thing just to relate it to maybe the men in the audience as well is my grandfather sewed. My grandfather was in the Navy and they actually taught him to sew, not only to, you know, fix the sails and stuff on the boat, but also to fix their uniforms and, you know, to be able to make things last. And so I think men as well as women can reuse these skills to think about their wardrobe.
Yeah. It's a bit of, in many ways, it's been lost skills or just not encouraged over certainly sort of our generation. I would also throw in the mix, even I often talk about even shoes. You know, it's not really talked about really. Go and get, if you're paying X amount of dollars for your shoes, and especially say winter boots, get them resold. Look after them. Buy shoe protector, buy shoe cream. Like, it's I know all that costs a little bit of money, but care for your items and look after them so that they last longer. And then we're not buying, you know, lots of inexpensive things. And it, that to me shows the whole polish in an outfit or the finesse of an outfit. So that's male or female. That is no different. Yeah.
Yeah. My parents owned a barbershop and they had a gentleman that shoe shined. So I learned a lot, you know, while people would be waiting for their haircuts, you know, they would get their shoe shined as well. And I realized then, same thing, that you could get your shoes like resold and how easy it was and how much, you know, less expensive than buying all brand new shoes. And so, you know, I did that throughout my career. And everyone's always like, well, how do you have so many nice pairs of shoes? And I was like, well, you know, for a couple bucks, I can resold them and keep them going.
That's it. That's it. And you know, like I've seen more with ladies, I suppose I take notice of the heel at the back of the shoe that your driving shoe, which would be the reverse for you, that's all stuffed. That she can have the most beautiful outfit, but that detail to me lets down the whole outfit. And it's such a small detail that can then elevate the whole outfit. So it's just thinking about things a little bit differently.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nikki Green, and I am a life and business resiliency expert. I have been helping people for over 2 decades overcome their challenges and achieve their life and business goals. I wrote Chameleon Mindset for others seeking clarity while acclimating to new situations. This entertaining yet research-based guide to transitions will open your mind to unique strategies for finding purpose and achieving your goals. Through my new book, you will create the happy life you desire with 5 philosophies for change, beginning with C for creative adaptability. Move from resistance to resilience by assessing and adjusting your risk tolerance. The practical lessons in Chameleon Mindset will help you shift your mindset, sharpen your skill set, and overcome the things holding you back from dealing with change. We'll have the new online course coming soon. There are 6 modules in total, but the way you choose to pursue your destiny, it's up to you. Each module can be done independently or repeated as necessary to tackle new obstacles and new goals in your life. And you can earn extra chameleon coins for uncovering them. What are chameleon coins, you might ask? These are reward XP that you can earn to purchase additional chameleon mindset benefits as you progress through the course. You can get swag, group coaching, one-on-one coaching, exclusive event tickets, and networking opportunities. And if you collect enough coins, you can even earn a full-day VIP intensive with me to work solely on your goals. And by joining the Chameleon Crew, you will also gain access to my network of thousands of influential people around the world with expertise to help you on your business, your personal endeavors, health and fitness, and so much more. Reserve a copy today and click below to be added to our subscriber list. While we're talking about resilience, maybe share, you know, 1 or 2 stories from, you know, your career and the changes you've had that have helped you kind of become more resilient and that you also use to help your clients now as they're reimagining themselves.
Oh gosh, there's so many, isn't there, with resilience. Small business is, so I started my first business at 16 and I've more or less been in business, in fashion, ever since. I think small business is the training wheels of resilience because things go wrong all the time, don't they? And it's all about problem solving that and having a cry, falling apart, and then pick your socks up and keep going and find it, you know, perhaps it's like course correct or whatever. I've always felt like I'm the salmon swimming upstream. I always feel like I think quite differently. I think differently and I'm quite very sensitive and empathetic. And I remember over the years, so the fashion industry, which I love, but I'm very aware, I can see it for what it is. I know what it does to women's views of their own bodies. I know that. I also know that it can be seen as a bit fickle. And I know that with fast fashion, it's got faster and faster and faster. So when I first started and came out of college, you know, you had clear up 4 seasons a year and it was more structured and there was time. And then, you know, over the course of time, there's drops every week, multiple times a week. So that turnaround time is much quicker. So with all of that, the demands, you know, there's no time to be sick. There's no time to reflect. Creativity cannot be slotted into half an hour here, 20 minutes here. It doesn't flow and work like that. And I remember along the way with different, you know, a lot of creatives, I'm lucky I've got a business, sort of half business, half creative brain. But a lot of creatives don't plan so much and everything's an emergency and all that kind of thing. And I remember thinking over the years, I'm getting very hurt and bruised by a lot of the egos and the, yeah, I'll just say egos, a lot that I was surrounded with, because I worked for a buyer as a buyer for 11 years as well. So I've traveled the world a lot. I've worked with a lot of designers globally and I have loved that. But as a sensitive person, I remember being told a lot over the years, you're too sensitive, toughen up, all this kind of thing. And so if you're told those little phrases enough, you start to go, I must be. I need to toughen up. I need to, you know, that really hurt my feelings. And you start to think it's you and you start to believe it. You're told it enough, you start to believe it. Anyway. I move along a bit and I work on myself and read a lot more and am honest with myself and you know, evolve and a bit of wisdom and a bit of age and all those things that happen. And I realized somewhere along the way, my sensitivity, my empathy is my superpower. Yeah. But that took a long time and a lot of being told things like that. And even then, you know, I would attract people that I would spend time with personally and professionally who all tell me that, you know, they're attracted because they like that and then don't treat it with the respect that or the superpower that it is. So these days and for, you know, the last whatever amount of years, 10 years, actually when I am speaking on a global level, when I am working with women, my specialty is women, especially midlife women are my favorite. And midlife means whatever it means, not necessarily an age bracket, but it's my sensitivity and empathy that is my superpower. And so women within minutes are usually telling me their most intimate things because how we feel about our bodies is usually tied to some situation or mean girl that said things in our lifetime that when we were younger, like what happened to me, we believe it. And it's not necessarily true. It's just that they were more forceful or more a bit of a bully or, you know, all these myriad of things. So that's been a really big process. And as I have, you know, I sort of fought it for a long time and then even putting those details in a more public forum. So on my LinkedIn profile, so really businessy, not Instagram or anything, it says an intuitive leader. I thought, you know what? I'm going to own it because that is what I'm really very good at that. That's one of my superpowers. And I thought, oh, I'm scared putting it on LinkedIn. That's just, and then I thought, you know what? I put it on there. And of course, the right clients find me because that resonates with them. And the ones that are not, they're not my people anyway.
That's so perfect and such a great lesson for all of us. And we talk about this, you know, I talk about in Chameleon Mindset about the importance of, you know, our wardrobe, our hair, you know, especially having Barbara as parents, that we get trapped in our mind in a certain time, good and bad, that we don't always progress. And so by staying in that sometimes, and you talked about makeup too, for women, that we're not letting ourselves progress forward to see the new possibilities of who we can be. And I love that you do this for so many people, and especially women, because we do need to continue transitioning into the next phase of life. And no better way to do that than what you see in the mirror and how you dress and how you take care of yourself. So I'm sure you have some great stories from some of your clients there.
I feel too, for those of us who are, and it isn't necessarily whether we're in business or we're working for someone, but it's more about how you think. So if you are someone that is part of what you're driven by or interested in is personal growth and evolving and moving forward and reaching for your goals and being brave. If that is all part of what you are striving for, then dressing like you did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even 1 year ago, like we're growing and moving so fast, many of us. So if we're not tweaking, like it might only be a tweak and it might be a full, you know, evolvement. I get it. There's a lot of fear with that. I understand that. And I think that's where, in my case, my empathy and gentleness comes in, because I understand, you know, I'm holding your nervousness and your fear and your self-consciousness and your body dysmorphia and all these things. I'm holding all that in my hand, and I really respect the enormity that that is. But if we aren't open to getting help, then how do we progress? How do you take your business, or you want that next role, or you want to, elevate your business to a certain level? If we've all heard that saying, if don't dress for the role or the place you are now, dress for who you want to be. There's power in that. There's power in that.
Oh, absolutely. So beautiful. And I think it's important for people with your talents to be able to help people see what you see that potential in them that sometimes maybe they're not seeing in themselves.
We all need someone who sincerely and authentically believes in them, not just tells you what you want to hear or busses you up, or not that at all. Because, there's lots of people around like that.
Well, Jane, I know we could talk all day and night until your afternoon and my midnight. but we've got to head out. I would love to be able to send folks your way to learn a little bit more about you if they're interested. So why don't you kind of let people know where they can find you?
Yeah, thank you. So the best place to find me is my website that has the most sort of paints the most cohesive picture about all the different things or services I do. It's called finesseyourstyle.com. Otherwise, connect on LinkedIn with me. I'm spending time over there. But the website will give, like I said, paint a picture as to how I work and give you more information. And I'd love to have a chat. Yeah.
Oh, lovely. And I can't wait to come visit you in Melbourne. So we can.
Oh, yay!
Well, sorry to say, we have to leave, kids. It's time to head on to get ready for the next episode. If you guys have enjoyed the show, you guys can head over to the NikkiGreen360.com. If you click on the podcast button, you can catch this episode and so many others. We're also where all the cool kids hang out that do podcasts. I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode of Stand Up and Stand Out. This is Nikki Green signing off.